Support for WYPR comes from University of Maryland Medical System, committed to advancing the health of Maryland through academic medicine. With locations across the state, care is delivered close to home. Learn more at ummms.org.
And welcome back. It's midday. I'm Tom Hall. By the way, coming up tomorrow on the show, guest host Scott Mousioni will be here. He's going to talk about the opioid crisis in Baltimore and a new approach to treating older people with substance abuse disorders. He's also going to talk about his reporting on smoke shops in Baltimore. So that's on the way tomorrow. And if you've just joined us today, it's midday on the arts. My next guest is a classical music conductor who is a regular presence with orchestras and opera companies around the world. Eunsun Kim is the music director of the San Francisco Opera, and she'll be leading our own Baltimore Symphony Orchestra tonight and Saturday night in concerts at the Meyerhoff here in Baltimore and at the Music Center at Strathmore in Bethesda. She joins me in the studio. Maestro, it's nice to meet you. Thanks for coming in.
Nice to meet you, Tom. Thank you for having me.
So this is your first time in Baltimore, huh? What do you think of the band so far?
Well, the band is really great. They're very responsive. They're very musical as well, and they're very attentive. I've enjoyed working with them a lot.
It's one thing to be the music director of an organization. For example, you lead the San Francisco Opera. You're in charge. You work with the same musicians, you know, over and over. The singers may change, the casts change, but still, even at that, a lot of the singers are people you know and people you've worked with. But when you're guest conducting, you come in and you have to start fresh. You started rehearsing on Tuesday, and here it is, just a couple of days later, you're going to play the show tonight. So what's the trick? Because you guest conduct all over the world. What's your strategy for, you know, helicoptering in and starting afresh with each new band you play with?
I don't know if I really think as strategy how I begin the rehearsal. Probably it's really the score, whether it's a trick or the key of the rehearsal. Really, it's the music, the score. I think we bond with the score and they play. And also, as music director, of course, you have the relationship, longer relationship with an orchestra, but the piece changes as well every time.
Sure.
So that relationship is also very, very different. So I think I'm always going into the rehearsal in a fresh mind, even with the piece that I've conducted a lot of times. It's the music is really an art of today, at this moment, very, very instant. So I'm going in always fresh.
Yeah, and two of the pieces on the program you're playing this weekend are very familiar to audiences and perhaps to you, the Schumann Piano Concerto, Robert Schumann, and then Ein Heldenleben, a big tone poem by Richard Strauss. Are these pieces you've conducted many times?
Yes, a few times already. And Schumann is one of my favorite concertos. It feels really like a symphony. And we've got a great pianist, a soloist, Javier Perianis. And and Ein Heldenleben, what can I say? You have just to listen to this music, and it's kind of, it just tells why it's called masterpiece, of course. And of course, it's very complex and very complicated with a lot of ornaments and details. But the piece as it is, it's just perfect.
Ein Heldenleben, a hero's life. So it does tell a story. You're constantly aware and cognizant of the narrative, aren't you, in a piece like this?
Of course, yes. So it's also it's in E flat major, which is also following the Eroica, the third symphony of Beethoven. It's the same, and how Strauss it actually wrote and picked this key for this hero's life. It's already the beginning point of understanding his mindset, but also he had a lot of humor, almost sarcastic, but very, very specific humor or the sense of humor. So you may not lose that as well. If you become too serious about all the music, it becomes very heavy. But I'm trying, and I hope tonight we'll get the result that we should keep the music really moving. And as you said, narrative.
And of course, this is a piece that's not just familiar to you and to probably many in your audience, but also to the musicians of the Baltimore Symphony. They've played it many times with many different conductors. Is it ever a challenge to, you know, sort of get it going your way? Are there tendencies and impulses from an orchestra as good as the Baltimore Symphony to sort of play it the way they played it the last time? Is that ever a challenge?
Well, in the first rehearsal, you sometimes notice that the transition of the orchestra. But as I said, this orchestra has been very responsive and very, in a way, welcoming my ideas as well. And I see also there are a lot of young musicians. So I was told that the last time that they played this piece was 2019.
Yeah, it was
a while
ago.
So it's been a while ago. So there are people who are playing the piece for the first time as well. And that helps in a way as well to make a new interpretation.
It's Midday on the Arts. I'm Tom Hall. My guest is Eunsun Kim. She's going to lead the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra in a show tonight and Saturday. Music of Strauss, Schumann, and Paradis, an overture to the Schulkandidat, right? The overture to the school candidate. That's not a piece that I know. I bet a lot of folks in the audience won't know it either. How did you tag that one onto this show?
Well, I've been asked, of course, over the many years in the past, if I can choose a piece by a female composer, of course. And also from the time, not just from our day, but also from. So she was a blind person. So, but very musical. You'll hear from the music. It's probably 5-minute music, but it's like an opera. It has everything in that 5-minute music. And she used to use the pegboard because she was blind, and there was copies. The challenging part of that was they lost the entire opera piece, and the overture was reconstructed by the copies as well. And so what we don't know is the little details, whether that was really from her and or from the copies. But otherwise, this piece has humor, but also the full, the structure of a story. There's tension and it gets resolved at the end. It's very positive. It's almost like Le Nozze di Figaro. So it's a perfect piece to open the concert. I've already played this piece a few times. And even in one place in Sweden, I think the audience laughed at some point because the piece was so funny. So it gives a little bit of mood for the audience to open the concert as
well. A lighthearted way to start things off. Yeah,
yes.
That's great. And of course, here's this composer overcoming her visual impairment. And as a woman in the music business, you've had to overcome some barriers as well. Those barriers still exist. I mean, here in Baltimore, we had Maren Alsop was the music director of our orchestra for many years, the first woman to lead a major symphony in the country. So there's a tradition that we're used to that a lot of cities don't have. You're running the San Francisco Opera. You're the first woman to do that job and one of the few women leading a major opera company in the world. How do you assess the stature of women in the classical music business? It's been a struggle.
I think, you know, honestly, I never think that I'm a woman because I have been always a woman.
Right. It's no news to you.
But it feels like, you know, a lot of people ask me also, what is the difference between male conductors and female conductors? Honestly, I don't know if that job is lighter for male conductors, because being a leader and conductor or a music director is a hard job anyway for everyone. So I think it's individually probably can be different, but because it's women, whether it was harder for me, personally, I don't feel like that. But of course, I'm in a generation, I'm getting old as well, so I'm seeing a lot of younger female conductors. For instance, this week I also have an assistant conductor who is also a woman in the next generation. But I also, of course, appreciate a lot of the work and the like Maren did or Simone Young. It's the previous generation. I think it was very, very important for us to open the road as well. So,
and as a little girl growing up in Seoul, I mean, you had, I'm sure, many, many girlfriends who were musicians who have gone on to be professional musicians like yourself, right? I mean, it's a culturally, the Korean culture, the Asian culture in general, very open to classical music. I mean, if you go to the Peabody Conservatory here, you'll see a lot of students from Asia. You know, studying and you know, excelling in music. So, culturally, the Korean culture in particular, very open to classical music.
Right, Korean culture. Well, to classical music as well. But the Koreans, we love music in general, whether it's classic
or K-pop or anything
K-pop,
else.
K-pop, you can see. But we just love singing and dancing. I think we're very lively as well. But yes, I started playing piano as well very early, but I had such terrible stage fright. So I actually quit the job. I quit piano. So when I was a teenager, I was not doing music as profession, or like I was not studying it. It came later for college, right before college, that a teacher led me to study composition. And it was different because composition, you make music for the others and you don't have to be on the stage.
Mm-hmm. So stage fright is an interesting thing that a lot of people, you know, have to confront as professional musicians. But you find that the stage fright is not an issue when you're conducting as opposed to when you have to play.
Correct.
That
because
makes sense.
Yes, because also as a conductor, it's a collaboration. And the conductor is a person who leads the orchestra, but physically, it's the only person who doesn't make the sound itself on the stage. You inspire, you motivate the musicians in front of you or the singers for them to give their best. But it's not me. And it's also about the piece, the score, the composer as well. So it's kind of recreating the music, the art. So it's not really about me, myself. And I think in that, I find the piece. So without stage fright.
Yeah. Well, I'm, you know, as you know, I'm a recovering conductor myself. I wonder, how do you know that you know a piece? You know, when are you ready to stand on the podium and lead these musicians and inspire them, as you say, to play this music? When do you know that you really know a piece sufficiently to be able to perform it and project it?
Before the first rehearsal ever, if I can go with closed eyes from page one to the last page, if I can read the score in front of me, I think I'm ready. But you're never ready. That's the job,
and
actually.
And you get readier every time.
Yes, that's true. Yeah. And every time. I think Karajan said once, I was told that you can forget about your first 20 times of conducting Beethoven Fifth. And from 21st time, you can say you know the piece.
You're starting to learn it at least. Yeah. Because Lord knows the audience is going to know. Ba-ba-ba-ba! Eun Sun Kim will lead the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra in a program that includes music of Strauss and Schumann tonight at the Meyerhof in Baltimore, along with the blind woman composer Paradis. And they're going to play it in Baltimore tonight and on Saturday night at the Music Center at Strathmore in Bethesda. Well, break a leg. Have a lot of fun. We're glad you're here, and thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much.
And up next, Midday on the Arts continues with a theater review. Our theater critic, Jaewyn Russick, will stop by to share her take on really quite a lot of mechanisms, the current offering at the Theater Project here in Baltimore. Judy joins me in Studio A. On the other side of a quick break, I'm Tom Hall. Stay with us.